Hello, friends. We are beginning now with Angel of the Presence Commentaries number 6, and we're working on the stanza for Ray 5. Each one of these stanzas shows the technique by which the fusion process at the third initiation, when the ancient authority of the personality is ended, the process by which that fusion occurs. So let us read. It's rather a longer one because Alice Bailey has some comments involved here as well. And I will read it first. Ray 5. The angel of the presence serves the three, the one above, the one below, and the one who ever is. And she inserts here, this refers to the fact that on the fifth plane, the angel is definitely met and known. And the three aspects of the higher triad, buddhi, the abstract mind and spirit, plus the ego and in the causal body, and the lower mind are here blended and fused. The great triangle begins its revolutions, and its rays reach out in all directions and permeate the whole. The man and angel face each other and know themselves to be the same. The light that radiates from the heart, the throat, and from the center, which stands midway, meet and merge. The two are one. The voice that speaks within the silence can be heard. The power that reaches from the highest point has reached the lowest. The plan can now be known. The whole can stand revealed. The love that stretches from the heart, the life that issues forth from God, have served the plan. The mind that gathers all with wisdom into the boundaries of the plan has reached the outer limits of the sphere of God's activity. That power informs my life. That love inspires my heart. That mind enlightens all my world. I therefore serve the plan. All right. Now let's see what thoughts come to us as we begin to ponder. Well, the angel of the presence is that aspect of the greater solar angel which has taken up residence within the causal body, egoic lotus. So it serves the it is serving to bring the monad and its lowest expression into relationship. The one above, I look at as the spiritual triad, above the presence, above the position of the angel. The one below is the personality, and the one whoever is the monad. Now, whether this, the following here is written by DK or AAB, I cannot be sure. But it says that it refers to the fact that on the fifth plane, the angel is definitely met and known. Let us say face to face. And the three aspects of the higher triad, buddhi, the abstract mind and spirit. Now, I'm wondering how they, buddhi, the abstract mind and spirit. So maybe I'm trying to see if how we see the three here, plus the ego in the causal body and the lower mind are here blended and fused. So in a way, the one whoever is simply must be the monad. The one above has to be the abstract mind, the buddhi, and Well, if we call the spirit, what can we call it? Is this the Atma? Sometimes it's called the spiritual plane. But we have the three aspects of the spiritual triad who, in a sense, are above the position into which the angel has inserted itself, which generally, well, let's just say the angel is found on the higher mental plane and perhaps locating itself on the particular subplane of the higher mental plane where the egoic lotus is focused. At first this will be the third subplane, then it will be the second subplane, all the way until actually the fourth initiation. As for the position of the central fire or jewel in the lotus, as DK has said, it's between the highest mental subplane and the Buddhic plane. So just exactly what that position is difficult to say. On which plane is it? It seems to be on some plane, but it seems to be between the two. And how is that accomplished? Okay, so the ego in the causal body is that which the angel of the presence informs. In a way, it's an aspect of the human being and a vehicle of the monad. In another way, this vehicle would not exist if not for the presence of the solar angel as the angel of the presence. And then the lower mind takes with it all of the personality, because in a way the lower mind is the place where the personality is generated. So in a broad sense, we have the ego with the informing angel of the presence. We have the triad above, we have the personality below, and we have the one whoever is the great supervisor, the monad, and pointing to the immortality of the essence of the monad. It is that which has never not been. So either AAB or DK here has limited this to a structure that goes no lower than the mind, lower mind. And so in a way, we can deal with this triangle of mind and not worry about the lower parts of the personality. That is one way to do it. So anyway, we have a fusion of monad, triad, lower mind, and the ego in the central position is fused with them all. Okay. Now let's see further what we have. The great triangle begins its revolutions, and its rays reach out in all directions and permeate the whole. Well, okay. There's a couple of ways of looking at this. Can we consider this triangle to be the spiritual triad? Or should we look at this as the three aspects of mind? Because we're told with the fifth ray word of power that three minds unite. There is the abstract mind, the sun of mind, and the concrete mind. And this could be considered a triangle as well. Because this stanza is going to be very much about the union of the mental faculties. This does not necessarily leave out the love and will aspects, as they will have a part in it as well. But when we deal with the fifth ray, we always have to keep in mind the idea that three minds unite. But from another perspective, what are these three minds which unite? And another way of looking at this, I think I'm going to use that one as an abbreviation, if you don't mind. Since I use it so often, if I can just remember what my abbreviations are. Another way of looking at this, okay. So, I'm going to have to do it again, unfortunately. another way of looking at this, and another way of looking at this. Okay. Replace, replace, and yes. So another way of looking at the three minds is as follows. We can have the concrete mind, the abstract mind, and the universal mind. Okay. Universal mind, which we might consider its lowest point of expression to be the atmic plane. So let us see the rays of the different aspects of mind will reach out in all directions and form a great sphere of mind. So a great sphere of mind will be created. All right. Here we go. A great sphere of mind will be created and will permeate the whole. Well, certainly the entire energy system of the man, or the candidate, or of the monad, and beyond, the wholeness of the greater system in which the man lives and moves and has his being. Whoop. Lives and moves and has his being. So we have yet to see how we shall name this great triangle. There are several things which it can be, but it seems to me that it should relate to the plane of mind. The monad, of course, is another great triangle. The spiritual triad is a triangle, and the two different ways of looking at the three minds which must unite are also triangles. The man and angel face each other. So the man, let's say our candidate, and the angel, angel of the presence, face each other, and this is, let's say, so often the case when they are coming en rapport. Now, the one exception, interestingly, is the back-to-back relationship of the warrior and the angel, and it's almost as if the two halves or two hemispheres of one whole are brought together to form the wholeness. In the fourth ray fusion, it is as if two hemispheres, that of the warrior and that of the angel of the presence, are brought together to form the wholeness. And there is the idea that opposites can be contained in a whole. The idea is that the fusion of the great opposites make the whole. It is the one distinction. There are sometimes those symbols where we do see the back-to-back formation, and that has to be for a special purpose. Looking outward, looking away from the center, looking towards a higher source, and that is the monad, and that is the way the hemisphere represented by the angel will look, or the angel will look towards that point, and the man or the candidate will look below for service. They know themselves to be the same. And that is the great mystery here. You know, they are the same and yet not the same. It is as if the solar angel, represented as the angel of the presence, has actually merged itself in man and become man. And that man on the higher mental plane, as he knows himself there, knows himself as something in which the angel is irrevocably fused. It is really his higher self. He does not know himself. He does not know himself as separate from the angel at that point of self-knowing. But when he penetrates the disk of golden light, then he will know himself independently of the angel, as the monad per se. Okay. Right. So there is this, let's just say, identification as the ego on the higher mental plane, which means also identification as the angel of the presence. These are mysterious things, and they have to do with merging, blending, fusing in consciousness and presence. So we have the merging, blending, fusing as consciousness in presence. And we do not have these keen lines of demarcation as we seem to have in the lower worlds of form. I suppose if the Master overshadowed us, or if we were somehow used as an outpost of his consciousness, we would have difficulty knowing, because of this fusion of the fluid of consciousness, what is our thought and our apprehension and our consciousness and what is his. We might only know it when a kind of withdrawal came and we were again left with our own more limited consciousness. But consciousness is so subtle that when it blends with another consciousness, and who knows, you know, the super physics of how this is done, the meta physics of how this is done, that it is very difficult to discriminate, once that blending has occurred, what belongs to one party and what belongs to another. We can only say that after, when we rise into the soul consciousness, it would not be what it seems to us if the angel of the presence were not present with its type of consciousness. If this golden glowing energy of reflexive consciousness were not present within the ego on the higher mental plane, it would not be familiar to us. This is what we experience when we rise. We do not experience merely the causal body on its own plane. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, think about individualization on the moon chain. Think about those egos that came in without a solar angel, but with a number of petals unfolded. This is mysterious. Then I presume that there came an association of a solar angel with the incoming ego, and an investment of that solar angel within that ego, substanding it, substanding all the petals and so forth, so that greater progress would emerge and a relatively rapid speed of evolution would be accomplished. I cannot see that all those coming from the moon chain would be devoid of the cooperative presence of a solar angel that invested itself within them, within the egoic structure. I think that DK speaks to us as more advanced students, or at least as relatively more advanced members of humanity, as if the angel of the presence, the solar angel, were important factors in our life. And the great majority, I would say, of students who are studying these higher things are moon chain humanity, or humanity that comes from a previous solar system, where the methods of individualization were not at all the same as they are now. In other words, there was no divine intervention. But still, it is possible for an angel on a high level to intervene when in the, let us say, the third root race of the third sub-race of the fourth root race, those egos come into incarnation. And when shall we say such an intervention occurred for those from the previous solar system? They came in Lemuria, before individualization had actually occurred. Was there a change in their understanding of themselves as human beings when the angels individualized animal man? Did they also, in a sense, come into relation with those who had come as human beings, obviously with petals unfolded, from the previous solar system? All right, these are questions we can only ask and cannot answer at this point. The light that radiates from the heart, we're going to talk about a blending now that's going on, and this is another triangle. We're going to be looking, you know, interesting, the number 3 is much associated with the number 5, and here another triangle is being discussed. So there is the illuminative quality of the heart. You know, it's rather interesting that the heart reveals. Heart energy reveals. It brings, it's the perceptions into the light. So that we'll put it this way, when we love, we also know. So there is a light that radiates from the heart. Light is vibration. When there is a radiation, it is a vibratory type of activity and can be called light. The light that radiates from the heart, so it's an intuitive knowing, from the throat, which is the more concrete approach to knowledge, but also the throat center will have to do with the abstract mind as well. And this is interesting, from the center which stands midway, meet and merge. Now, there is a mental center. There is a chakra which stands midway between the heart and the throat center. And I am not speaking of the lung center or centers, but this is a center not much mentioned. I think it has 8 petals. I'll check that. DK vaguely hints at this, and I'm not sure on what plane this occurs. It may occur only on the mental plane, but then if there's a chakra on the mental plane, one might think that it would work its way down into the others as well, into the lower plane. Now, I was not quite able to come up with the quotation I'm looking for. Is it reference imagined? Did I put certain things together in my mind? But here we have the mention of some occult chakras. They are, it's only mentioned once and in passing without elaboration, and so we see that certainly not all that relates to the chakric system has been revealed, certainly not about the head center. The significance of the four circles in the egoic lotus and the eight circles of 12 petals each in the etheric lotuses on the mental plane is of great importance. And the idea of eight circles of 12 petals each, that's 96, isn't it? 8 times 12 is 96 in each one of these, in the etheric lotuses on the mental plane. Well, this is not how we normally view the chakras on the mental plane, but perhaps we have not been told so much about their structure. Suffice it to say, there is, I believe, a center correlated with the mind at a midway point between heart and throat center. This at least is my theory for the time being. And it may, will its number be 8? The heart center has 12. As we rise, will the number increase? I cannot be sure about that. But suffice it to say that there does seem to be an intermediate center. So there is light radiating from the heart, the throat, and from this, from the center, let's call it an occult center for the time being. Okay, which stands midway, meet and merge. And then it says the two are one. Well, really, we have three here, don't we? The light that radiates from the heart, the throat, and from the center, which stands midway. Why then the two? Why then the two instead of the three, unless the heart and throat are being considered as known chakras in one category, and the center, which stands midway, to be considered in another category, and thus the two. And notice also here, he refers to the etheric lotuses on the mental plane, and that is a general hint for us about the fact that the higher four subplanes of any plane are considered etheric. Now, the only subplane that is not occupied by the causal body is the fourth subplane. And even though it is not yet in the realm of the causal body, i.e. on the highest levels of the higher three levels of the mental plane, it is still considered etheric. And here's the question, will it have, and the eight circles of 12 petals each, in the etheric lotuses? Well, it seems that the structure of these etheric lotuses is maybe other or more elaborate than the maps we have seem to indicate. Meet and merge, well, anyway, the two are one. At least we can say there is a fusion of the energies of these centers. And this is happening as soul infusion is occurring for the fifth ray soul type. All right, we go further. The voice that speaks within the silence can be heard. Now, we will say here, as a result of this fusion of Angel of the Presence and the disciple or the candidate, disciple, man, however we want it, the reoriented monad in extension, or the rising monad in extension, all synonyms here, all synonyms, MS, okay? So the voice of the silence. What is the voice of the silence? Well, what is that? This is called, usually, the voice of the soul. But is it as much the voice of the angel of the presence? Now, admittedly, we all have much that we have gained in terms of the content of our egoic lotus. We have a higher wisdom which is our own. We also have a wisdom which comes from the solar angel, which is much vaster, and it is infused in the angel of the presence, which is, as it were, present within our egoic lotus. And when we hear the voice of the soul speak, the voice of the silence, the still small voice, whose voice is it? So we can ask, whose voice is this voice of the silence? The voice of the silence. Is it the voice of our earthly experience over many lives? Or is it the voice of the angel of the presence with its far vaster experience? Or is it, in a way, both? But we certainly have a source of higher wisdom within us. We have contributed to it, and the intervention of the solar angel as the angel of the presence has also contributed to this inner wisdom which we possess on the higher mental plane. The power that reaches from the highest point has reached the lowest. Well, what is this? Let us say, when we think about the highest point of what? In a way, this is the monad, which is now consciously noted at the third initiation. There is also the highest point of the spiritual triad, which is Atma. And there's also the highest point of the mental plane, which is in relation to which we find the focus of the jewel in the lotus, and maybe, those are the points that I can think of. It seems that the angel of the presence does not necessarily stand at the highest point, but is acting as a bridging agency between the monad spiritual triad and the lower concrete mind representing the personality. So as always, we have the two sentences which occur together. The plan can now be known. The whole can stand revealed. Well, there is an atmic revelation as the atmic plane is also a plane of mind, it is the level at which the plan is formulated by the masters. Okay. So with that a great descent of formulated thought that we call the plan, or arranged energies which we call the plan, a wholeness can now be detected. The plan embraces the whole of the planetary process, or at least for our globe and our chain, the plan embraces wide spaces. And maybe we don't know the entire plan for the planetary scheme, but we will increasingly know the plan for that part of the planetary scheme, which is our focus, our globe, and our planetary chain. So with enough known, we can say, let's say, now that the plan is known, it reveals the wholeness in which it works and in which it must be applied. Okay. Now we see another fusion coming. This is going to be, we sometimes might think that for the fifth ray type only the mind is active, but if we read the names of the fifth ray Lord, we will see how much Venus is involved and how much the love energy is also connected. So even for this very mental type, the three aspects have to be activated. And they are the love that stretches from the heart, should we say, of the newly made initiate under Venus, the newly made initiate, because we cannot step on this Syrian path of initiation at the third degree unless the power of love is very strong. We are really, in a sense, entering the hierarchy and the true ashram for the first time. We've been on the periphery of it all the time before that, but now we are disciples within the Syrian regime of development. So we are suffused by love regardless of what our soul ray may be. So we cannot have so narrow a view and so arid a view that the fifth ray is mind only, or that any ray is only that quality with which it is most identified. Every ray manifests as a triangle and must appropriate the other two aspects in a certain measure. The first ray type must appropriate love and mind. The third ray type says, I will with love and mind to serve the plan. So always there is a triangle. And for the fifth ray type as well, there will be a fusion of heart, life, and mind, as we will see. So the love that stretches from the heart and the life that issues forth from God, and this life is the life of the, well, life of the monad as it works through the will aspect, or the first aspect of divinity, have served the plan. And this is true for all beings, all ray types. By the time they reach the third initiation, at least all of the aspects which are working through them have to be raised to a certain high point of development. So there is love. It stretches from the heart. It includes, it embraces the union of mind. And love is seen to under Venus, which is a major fifth-ray planet. The love that issues forth from God, God is the monad in any human being, or the monad is the representation of God and works primarily through the first aspect, have served the planned. So this is true of the fifth-ray type, of the fifth-ray type. And now the pertinent faculty, the faculty which is with which the fifth ray type is most identified, the mind that gathers all with wisdom. In other words, now that the mind is soul infused, soul infusion, soul infused, soul infusion. Okay, so I'm going to make this a little abbreviation here. SLID. And we'll call this soul infused. Soul confused. Soul infused. Okay. Now that the mind is soul infused, it has wisdom. It has the wisdom of the soul, and not just the powers of the lower mind. So the mind that gathers all with wisdom into the boundaries of the plan, so all knowledge possessed, is brought into the sphere which the plan rules, into the boundaries of the plan, has reached the outer limit of the sphere of God's activity. This is a very searching mind, and just think of the fifth ray astronomers who seek to consider the nature and structure of the entire universe as they can understand it. In other words, they are reaching out for the boundaries of God's sphere of activity. And by the way, by this time, the fifth ray type, so skeptical at first, let's say, believes in God, however he may define God. I remember a Buckminster Fuller definition of God. It was like nothing that any conventionally religious person could possibly believe, but you could see how out of his tremendous mentality, his abstract understanding, he could formulate such a definition. I've been looking for that. It seemed to be one long sentence with huge words which comprehended all from a mental point of view. I will try to find that. I saw it and was amazed, and then promptly lost the reference. So the mind that gathers all with wisdom into the boundaries of the plan, all knowledge is made subservient to the plan. Let's look at it that way. All knowledge is made or seen as subservient to the plan which is now known. The plan can now be known. The whole can stand revealed, has reached the outer limits of the sphere of God's activity, and I would also add for the fifth ray type, the inner limits as well. How small can you go? Now, they are dealing with this, revealing the nano world, and we are on our way to an understanding eventually of what the finest constituents of matter on the cosmic physical plane will be, the so-called bubbles of the koilon. And I've questioned whether they are divisible as well. I mean, you know, there is this big question about whether the cosmic planes above the cosmic physical plane are prakritic, that is, whether they are in any way particulate, composed of tiny unities, smaller than the atoms by far, of course, but whether they have their own type of atomic and subatomic structure, not answerable by us at this time. So has reached the outer and inner limits of the sphere of God's activity. The mind can do this, and the mind is the main thing for the fifth ray type, though supported by love and will. You know, the fifth ray has a definite connection with will in the Tetractys, as we see, and the fifth ray type resolves upon the first ray type. And the luminosity of the fifth ray type relates it so strongly to the second ray. Now, who speaks here? Let's just say this is the rising and returning Blessed One, or Monad in extension, who is speaking. That power that reaches from the highest to the from the highest point has reached the lowest. It's almost like the highest and the lowest meet. I think I should put that in, you know. The power that reaches from the highest point has reached the lowest. It is quite similar. Similar to the seventh ray word of power, the highest and highest and the lowest meet. Quite similar. So maybe the lowest in this case is considered the concrete mind as the lowest aspect of mind, but still the concrete mind is the very center of personality. They both are focused on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, both personality and lower mind. So this power that reaches from the highest has reached the lowest. This, in a way, I look at as the monad, the highest point for me, whatever highest points there may be in the various ascending triangles, is the monad, as I consider it. So that great power of the monad and experienced consciously for the first time at the fusion, which is the third initiation, informs my life. So permeates my life, let's just say, enters all the forms through which I express. That love that stretches from the heart, the divine love inspires my heart. And I think that's fairly straightforward. Let's make sure we know what that love is. The love that stretches from the heart, that life that issues forth from God. This is also the same as the power. That power that reaches from the highest point. So this life that issues forth from God the monad, I'm going to just put a bracket around this because there is no word that in there. Power, or is there? Let's see. Let's go back here and just check. The power that reaches from the highest point. Well, there is a that. This is the power that reaches from the highest point. This is the life aspect. This is God, God the monad. And that power coming from the monad and through the triad and through the various aspects of mind, through Atma, which is really a mental aspect in a way, and through the various aspects of mind, that power enters every one of my forms and I am empowered. The love that stretches from the heart motivates me. So let's just say I no longer rationalize to the point of destroying that which I am analyzing. And when I say rationalize, I know there's a psychological meaning here, so I better use the word analyze. That mind, which is the main point, really, for the fifth ray type, main point for the fifth ray type, enlightens all my world. So a great luminosity shines forth from the greatly expanded and now wise mind, which is extended to the outer sphere, where the plan as known can be applied, and also into the minute worlds. So that mind which has tremendous knowledge, now has tremendous knowledge, enlightens my newly expanded world. That mind enlightens all my world. And then this is interesting, because the word therefore is used. Now, it is not used in the other types of in the other stanzas. He says, in harmony with all united souls, I serve the plan. It's not as a result of. I will with love in mind to serve the plan. That whole, how does it describe it here? The whole will stand revealed, that plan I know, I will with love in mind. It doesn't say therefore. In other words, the word therefore suggests the process of reasoning. The word therefore suggests that which follows after a process of reasoning. So it says almost as if because the power informs my life, and the love inspires my heart, and the mind enlightens all my, because of these three states, and especially because the mind enlightens all my world, a vast world, I consequently, as a result, serve the plan. In other words, I have a good reason for serving the plan, because it makes sense to do so and is an inevitable conclusion that I must. You know, the third-rate types, the fifth-rate types, they have to have a reason for doing what they do. They do not take the leap of faith. They have this rationale for doing what they do. And the mind has enlightened everything so that the need to serve the plan becomes obvious. Well, as you can see, this stanza has some obscurities in it. It's a little bit difficult in certain ways. What I would like to do is just kind of review it, read it through as I have the other ones, just making a few comments as I go. So the angel of the presence, who is the linking factor, what is that, the divine uniter, the great uniter, is that how it is described if we go to Esoteric Psychology 1? Maybe, perhaps 72 or something like that, a little bit later, right here. And its name, 76 it is, name the Great Connector, that's what it is. The Divine Intermediary, you would almost think it was the fourth ray. It's the Great Connector, I called it the Divine Uniter, but okay, close in a way. So, the Angel of the Presence as the Great Connector serves the three. It's a unifier of the parts of man which have not yet been brought together into one functioning whole. The one above, the angel, who is the higher aspect of mind and in a way involves the entire spiritual triad, representing the entire spiritual triad through higher mind. The one below, that is the mental unit and the concrete mind, which serves as the type for man as manas, the personality working its way up to the level of manas, and the one whoever is who has to be the great life principle, which is the monad. And in this little description following, whether it's DK or AAB, refers to the union of all of these factors, but goes no lower than the lower mind. And temporarily, the angel and the ego are united with all these factors, but that is just a temporary a bridging facilitation and will not last forever, as we know. The great triangle begins its revolution and its rays reach out in all directions and permeate the whole. Well, I'm thinking of this somehow as a triangle of mind, and I'm thinking that it involves triadal mind, son of mind, and concrete mind. Or if we want to extend that, perhaps it involves concrete mind, abstract mind, and universal mind as found on the Atma. But we're not so much dealing yet with the Atma. We're pretty much confining ourselves to the realm of mind per se. And when we use this idea of three minds unite, we can certainly think of abstract mind, son of mind, and concrete mind, though sometimes DK encourages us to think of concrete mind, abstract mind, and universal mind. Well, anyway, a great triangle of mind, to me, whichever it is, begins its revolutions, as it were, looking all around and encompassing everything within the sphere so it can come to terms with everything within the sphere. And is not just focused on one thing, but begins universalizing itself. That's how I see it. The great triangle begins its revolutions and its rays, the rays of apprehension, the rays of mental understanding reach out in all directions of the sphere and permeate the whole. Here is a mind that is going to undertake an understanding of the whole, a kind of meticulous scientific understanding based upon factual knowledge of the whole. The man who has risen from the lower worlds and is the monad in extension of the Blessed One before full self-realization rises into the causal body, rises along a path of light into the causal body where the angel is found, the angel of the presence, and they face each other and know themselves to be the same. So I identified with the causal body and with the egoic lotus is the angel, and so accustomed to thinking of his soul as that which the angel has provided in the ego. He may touch his higher impulses, his causal body, and not know that there is an angel present within it, some extension of the solar angel. He may not know that, but he has accustomed himself to thinking of that sphere of his life as illumined by the love and the mind of the angel. So the man is not saying to himself at this point, well, I really know I am the monad, so I am not you. There is this merging in identity. And as far as the angel is concerned, the monad has worked through this angel, and the monad has extended itself into the lower worlds, and the angel considers this extension in a way to be itself, because it has rendered itself up to the monad as a servant and has identified with the project of the monad, that is, to reach the lowest from the highest and to be a completely have completely integrated vehicles. So for the time, such is the power of identification of the angel of the presence that it considers itself to be as the monad is and to be as the extension of the monad is. So the two, for all practical purposes, realize themselves, know themselves, in fact, to be the same. Then we look within the human energy system. There is a revelatory light radiating from the heart, a conceptualizing light from the throat and a form-making light, and also this mysterious center which stands midway, which I think is having to do particularly with the mental plane and the occult structures which are found thereon. And all of these super diaphragmatic centers meet and merge, and again, the three are one. Of course, here it says the two are one, so there is some discrimination with two of these centers being one thing, I think, and another center, the other center being something else. But there is here's another way to look at it, maybe better, that the man and angel are the same. So in the process of making them the same, these chakras are the ones that are involved. So the two, man and angel, are one, and somehow, and this is important, I didn't mention it before, they are fusing, we might say. They are fusing. There is a heart center with the angel, and it seems that it comes in touch here with that of the man. There is a throat center as well for the creativity, and there also a center which stands midway. So we can be dealing again with that structure, you know, eye to eye, hand to hand, and so forth. It doesn't really describe it here in the same way, but there does seem to be an approach of the chakras. The chakras of the angel and the chakras of the man. Okay, that I think maybe is a better, little better explanation. There is the voice of the soul that speaks within the silence. The citta connected with the mental vehicle is stilled. There is the silence of the citta, and the higher the soul can speak from the plane of higher mind. What does the voice say? The voice is telling something to the man, to the candidate, that there is a high power from the highest point and it has reached the lowest. Let's just say it simply might have reached the lower concrete mind, and that the power of the monad has reached the lower concrete mind as we would expect it to do, because of the third degree there is recognition. And it has carried Atma with it and the abstract mind with it, and so forth. It has, from the highest point, it has reached the lowest. Let's call it the concrete mind according to what is said here in the brackets by either AAB or DK. The plan, as a result of the information coming from the highest worlds, the plan, as they touch the vaster sphere, can now be known. The plan as it touches the planet can now be known. There's a kind of planetarization of consciousness which does occur at the third degree. The whole of the planet, at least, can stand revealed, because we begin to participate as a planetary unit at that point. Okay, I want to get rid of this. Let's close that for the moment. Okay. The power that reaches from the highest point has reached the lowest. So, therefore, the concrete mind is now informed of all of the divine, or at least a great number of divine intentions, and the planetary whole can stand revealed, and maybe wholes beyond that as well. I mean, it would be hard to say that for a man, the wholeness, which is the entire universe, can stand revealed, but the fifth-ray types do reach out for that kind of thing, at least on the outer plane, through astronomy. The love that stretches from the heart, okay, the life that issues forth from God have served the plan. So this type, with both love and will, representing life, have served the plan in order to reach that a stage of fusion we call the third initiation. The mind that gathers all with wisdom, all knowledge, has been gathered into the plan, is considered part of the divine plan and must be subject to the divine plan. That mind has reached the outer limit of God's activity as far as the very intelligent individual can determine, the outer limits of space as it can be observed through, you know, those fifth-ray mechanisms, the telescopes. Now, it is the man who is returned to the higher mental plane who is speaking, that this great power of the monad and of the will is informing or infusing every form within my energy system, that the great love is inspiring his heart. That's straightforward. And the mind, which is vast and has been expanding to the outer boundaries, which come under the plan, that mind is carrying enlightenment all the time now. What is all his world? Well, it may not be the entire universe, but it is an ever-expanding sphere. So whatever he considers to be his world of mental perception, the mind, with all of its accumulated knowledge, is enlightening it. And as a result of all these activities, he has a good reason. He is well equipped and he sees the need. I therefore serve the plan. All right, let me just read it. Ray 5. The angel of the presence serves the three, the one above, the one below, and the one who ever is. The great triangle begins its revolutions, more than one, right? And the rays reach out in all directions and permeate the whole. The man and angel face each other and know themselves to be the same. The light that radiates from the heart, the throat, and from the center, which stands midway, meet and merge. The two are one. The voice that speaks within the silence can be heard. The power that reaches from the highest point has reached the lowest. The plan can now be known. The whole can stand revealed. The love that stretches from the heart, the life that issues forth from God, have served the plan. The mind that gathers all with wisdom into the boundaries of the plan has reached the outer limits of the sphere of God's activity. That power informs my life. That love inspires my heart. That mind enlightens all my world. I therefore serve the plan. You know, maybe it's so for you too, but the more I read this, the more I ponder it, the more I steep my mind in what is said here, the more it starts to mean to me. The great triangle of mind, one of the great triangles of mind, is revolving and covering the entire, content of the sphere. This mind is eager to know the whole, albeit at the present time. It's pretty well focused on the physical and maybe a little of the etheric planes. It's not so focused on the psychological and spiritual levels, but one day it will be. Fifth Ray France, they say, will discover scientifically the soul. So the man and angel are facing each other. They know themselves to be the same. And now there's this interchange. And that interchange I did not emphasize enough when I first analyzed this. There is going to be a chakra-to-chakra exchange here, just the way there is in all the others. And this would be very interesting in terms of the center which stands midway. What is it for the solar angel? And is it particularly related to the mental plane in some way? Is there some fusion of heart and mind in this center that stands midway, since it is positioned midway between the throat and the heart? Now, well, I just thought of another thing here as well. And from the center that stands, it seems the center which stands midway is that is actually a chakra. But we could also wonder, you know, sometimes the soul itself is considered, or the egoic lotus itself is considered to be a center which stands midway. But it would be hard to conceive of what such a structure might be in a parallel sense with regard to the angel of the presence. So anyway, the two are one is pretty much the man and the angel. They are fused. The soul speaks. The life power working through the will has reached down to the lowest aspect of mind and, of course, really further, probably into the brain in a way, but at least the lower mind is the lowest point given up here, where my cursor is. The plan can now be known, and it's the plan as it applies not to the entire universe. It can't be. It has to be a limiting sphere, a limited sphere. The whole can stand revealed, and yes, that there is a whole, that much we can see. But the whole in which the individual can practically work is also revealed, and that is more the planetary whole. And so there is the fusion of the three aspects. Not only do three minds unite for this type, but three aspects of divinity unite, life, love, and mind, or will, love, and mind. And thus it is to a certain extent with all the ray types. All of these have to unite in some proportion. But always when we're dealing with the fifth ray type, we have three triangles, a triangle which has to unite and be as one. This theme we have seen throughout this particular stanza. So there's a lot more to harvest from this stanza. I suppose the important thing is that those who are on the fifth ray understand something of the practical application of it and can use the power of visualization, can use the mind in a certain right way, can feel en rapport with the solar angel in terms of their creativity in the throat center and their sense of love and unity at the heart center, and some, I think, mysterious, not described center, perhaps relating to centers on the mental plane that I talked about earlier. Well, that remains to be seen. And that they have, through their enlarged consciousness, a good reason for serving the plan, a spiritual reason, and not just investigative curiosity of the garment of God. The fifth ray type has to undergo a great spiritualization. All right, I think that's enough for that, and we're a little bit over, but not too bad. So we'll see you for Ray 6 stanza. Let's just say this is the end of Angel of the Presence Commentary number 6, EP, oh, okay, number 6, EP 2, and, page 47. Is that possible? I think so. Looks like page 47. I'll go over here. Yeah, it's 46 and 47. But this is 47 now. And we'll be beginning of Angel of the Presence Commentaries number 7, EP 2, page 47, Ray 6 will be coming. Okay. All right, friends, we'll see. Well, we'll have to see here. I'm going to have to add something, friends. I'm sorry. It appears as if this has been off. My recording has been off. Yes, I'm rather sorry here. It may be that my recording has been off for a while. I hope not. If I discover it to be so, I will add something about the fifth ray. So at the risk of being tedious here, let's just say that the voice, which is a higher voice, I think in this case, realizes or describes the situation that has occurred. Monadic power has reached the lowest point of the lower mind and is recognized for the first time as the third degree. The plan as it applies to our planet, at least, can be known. The plan as it applies to the whole solar system cannot, and beyond cannot. The wholeness exists can be revealed, but the whole to which a man practically can relate is revealed. In other words, when the consciousness is somewhat planetarized, then it is understood how that the individual can serve that plan. So while the greater whole is revealed, the whole in which practical participation is can be expected is also revealed, and that is the planetary sphere, maybe the planetary chain. You know, it's somewhat limited when you consider what a human being can know. And there is the union of the three aspects of divinity. We have made a transition from when the voice speaks to when the returning Blessed One speaks, that the great power of the monad, I feel it in every aspect of my being. The love is inspiring my heart, and I'm appropriating that love, and I'm not just an arid mental type, only interested in investigating the garment of God. I have the heart inspired. So Venus is really acting in my life. Venus, the fifth ray, rules the third initiation. Venus is very strong at that point. It is hierarchically elevated at that point in Capricorn. So love is infused with mind, and therefore the Sirian path can be trodden, which it has Ray 2 and Ray 5, and then that mind enlightens all my world, an ever vaster world, ever vaster. just pushing the limits, literally, gathers all with wisdom into the limit, into the boundaries of the plan, pushing the limits in terms of magnitude, great magnitude, pushing the limits in terms of tiny magnitude, the fifth ray with that triangle that revolves in all directions and its rays permeating the whole, will push the limits of what can be known. And then all that can be known will be drawn into the center under the plan and will be made to serve the plan. And so this fifth ray type now has very good reasons, whereas it doubted there even was a plan before, now has very good reasons to serve the plan. Okay, I'm sorry if I've had to go on a little longer here because there was the possibility that I may have had off for some moments the actual recording. And there's many things to think about. Anyway, I'll go on to Ray 6 shortly, and there will be a completely different type of approach. See you soon. Bye-bye.